Good morning. You are listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and this week I'm very excited to be talking with Dr. Tony Fiorino. He is the CEO of Brainstorm Cell Therapeutics, based in New York and also in Israel. They're doing some very exciting work with stem cells, and we're going to find out all about it. Welcome, Dr. Fiorino.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so our listeners are familiar with stem cells used for joint regeneration, but the application that you're doing with your company is something that I don't think very many people know about. So tell us about it.
Yes, so we are using a stem cell-based product to treat neurodegenerative diseases. We are in clinical trials in ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease, right now, and we have had interesting animal data in other diseases, including Parkinson's disease, MS, and Huntington's disease as well.
Okay, so these are diseases for which there are no current treatments. So this is pretty revolutionary.
Yes, or where the current treatments don't adequately treat the disease.
Well, I call that it's not a treatment. Right? If it doesn't stop the disease or reverse the disease, it's pretty worthless. So I'll give you the background of how I even found you. Was I saw an article, I think it was in the New York Times, Jerusalem Post, maybe, somewhere, anyway, came to me in May about the reversal of ALS of a rabbi in Israel. And that got my attention. I know people with ALS. I know people with MS. And I thought, if stem cells would help this guy, how many other hundreds of thousands would it help everywhere else?
Yes, there's been a lot of attention generated by that case, which was a compassionate use treatment, and one of the first ALS patients actually to have received this our neurone, which is what we call our stem cell therapy.
Right. So the stem cells are extracted from the person's hip and grown for a period of time.
Oh yes. Let me. I can explain a little bit about the process, and actually it's a little, it's distinct from most, if not all, other stem cell-based therapeutics, at least the ones that I'm aware of. So we take bone marrow cells from the bone marrow of patients, and from those take a very rare cell within the bone marrow called the mesenchymal stem cell. It represents less than 0.1% of the total cells in the bone marrow. And we expand those. We expand those in a cell culture facility.
That means you grow them, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, we grow them through several cycles. They go through several number of doublings until we have a sufficient number of cells that can be used for our treatment protocols. At that point, we actually place them into a new set of culture conditions that were developed in a laboratory, Donny Ofen lab at Tel Aviv University, which induce these mesenchymal stem cells to begin to secrete several growth factors that are known to promote the survival of nerve cells, of neurons. And then after 3 days in those conditions, the cells as a product is now ready to administer back to the patient. And the idea is that we've taken these mesenchymal stem cells and converted them into, or differentiated them into, a new cell type that can hopefully, and the idea is to support the survival of neurons. And we hope that this can have applications in a variety of different diseases. As we've looked in animal models and now in ALS patients, we're very hopeful that by administering these cells back, and the cells are able to secrete these growth factors, which we hope prolongs the survival of neurons, which are being damaged by whichever disease process is the patient is suffering from, and can stabilize the disease and provide some real clinical benefit to the patient.
Okay, so how do you decide where to put the cells?
That's a great question. The idea, of course, is to try to deliver the cells to the site of damage, or where it is that the neurons are stressed or are in danger or are dying.
Okay, what if it's in the brain?
So that is absolutely an area that we're looking at very carefully. There's a long history in Parkinson's disease of transplanting different kinds of cell types into the brains of Parkinson's patients because the neuronal death is in a very restricted area in the substantia nigra. So for many years now, clinical trials have gone on looking at implanting different kinds of cells into the brain to either promote the survival of the neurons that are dying there or replace them. So there's absolutely precedent for doing that. What we would also need to look at in if we were going to let's say run a clinical trial in Parkinson's disease is whether we could give the cells intrathecally, which is into the cerebral spinal fluid via through an injection, like as somebody would get a lumbar puncture or a spinal tap.
Right. So far away from the source, yep. but still in the possibly getting up to the area that you want it to get.
Correct. Mm-hmm. We know that the cells have the ability to migrate, so that may be a future possibility and uh-huh. one of the. The method of delivery is absolutely one of the things that we're spending a lot of time looking at and thinking about as we contemplate with what other diseases we might run clinical trials.
Okay, so let's go back to, so you do, you inject the cells into their lumbar spine, and then what happens?
In ALS, we inject the cells intrathecally, correct? And we also give them, right now in the clinical development period, we're giving them as an intramuscular injections into the arm.
And why the arm as opposed to like the butt or the thigh?
Really, just it's a place that can easily be assessed with regard to. We're looking to see if the cells are making a difference, so it's easy to assess things like grip strength. Or other aspects of motor function.
Got it.
Arm.
That makes sense. Okay.
And we're looking, we're injecting into the right arm and not into the left arm and to see if there's if we do see a difference.
Okay. So I don't know if Israel's laws about development of new treatments is as restrictive as it is in the United States, but how do you go from an idea to the being able to actually try it on patients, especially patients who say, "I have nothing to lose. I'm dying. So please give me this."
I think the process is not dissimilar. I would say in the U.S. and Israel, or in the U.S. and Europe, overall the regulatory framework is fairly similar.
Uh-huh.
It's actually, as I'm sure your listeners are aware, it's a long path and a lot of work to get from an idea or even a laboratory experiment into a drug candidate that's being given to human beings in a clinical trial. With the case of a cell therapy, certain aspects are actually easier and certain aspects are more challenging. What helped Brainstorm move this process along is the fact that we're taking cells from patients and then giving them back their own cells.
Right.
Which means that, and we're not genetically modifying them in any way. So that creates a certain assumption of safety that goes along with that because there's a long history of stem cell transplants and other therapeutic agents that follow this therapeutic cell therapies that follow this same paradigm of the efficacy.
Okay, so are these all ALS patients?
Yes.
To qualify to be in the study, do they have to be at a certain level of degeneration?
Yes. So this was actually a little bit of a tricky piece of designing the study, as one thinks about designing a clinical trial. You want to test an agent in a population where if the agent is working, that you can detect the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we struggled a little bit or had a lot of discussion around the exact right kind of patient population to enroll in the study. Our investigators felt very strongly that there's more of a chance of observing a benefit in earlier stage patients rather than late stage patients. However, if you enroll patients who have very recently been diagnosed, sometimes you don't really know what their clinical course is going to be,
mm-hmm.
and that creates variability within the study, and it's a relatively small study, so we strive to obtain a relatively homogeneous population, but it's very hard in a disease like ALS,
mm-hmm.
in which there's a lot of variability. Patients with ALS can progress at different rates. So this is a struggle really for any clinical trial.
How many people are in the trial?
It will enroll 48 in total.
So are you still enrolling?
Yes.
Okay, so if someone who hears this wants to see if they're a candidate to enroll, can they go to your website and...
On clinicaltrials.gov, one could... look up the protocol synopsis, do a search for Neurone or a search for Brainstorm, and then if there's a center nearby, can contact the center.
Okay. Now, I have an MS patient who would love to enroll in an MS study. Is one of those coming?
So we don't have any trials outside of ALS going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
What we are really taking a very hard look at is, I mentioned this earlier, what is the right next study put into the clinic? We are, as a small company, and we are a small company, not with the resources of a large pharmaceutical company, so we have to be parsimonious in how we think about spending our money, and we want to carefully assess what our existing data are from animal studies, et cetera, and then make a decision on what's the next best candidate in terms of disease to move into a clinical trial. I wish that we were, had sufficient resources that I could move three or four
At the same time.
But as a small biotech company, we don't have that luxury.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that was mentioned in the presentation that's on your website, the doctor talking about the clinical trials, was about saving cells, the extra cells that were grown, and freezing them for later, so that possibly if the person needs every 3 months or in 3 months needs additional cells, they wouldn't have to have another puncture. They could just have their cells unfrozen and then they could get another puncture.
Yes, this is an important project that we've been working on because we believe that this therapy will require multiple administrations. In all of the diseases that we've discussed, whether it's ALS or Parkinson's or MS or Huntington's, there's a relentless process that's essentially killing nerve cells. And it would be, I think, naive for us to think that we could give one dose of our cells and it would provide a permanent stabilization or whatever the case may be. So we fully expect that we will require multiple doses, and as you alluded to, going into doing a bone marrow biopsy to obtain bone marrow cells each and every time, even if it was every 2 or 3 months, is not really is really a suboptimal kind of situation. So we've had a very active R&D project looking at cryopreservation of the cells, and we've made great progress. And I'm hopeful that in a forthcoming clinical trial, you know, hopefully the next clinical trial we run, we will be able to use frozen cells to provide multiple doses to the
right.
All that trial.
So then in those cases, you would be following the patients for longer.
Yes, correct.
All right. Well, how long do you think it will be before something like this could be available in clinical practice? And I suppose that means paid for by Medicare.
Right.
I mean, that's the bottom line of anything, right?
I guess. Well,
I mean, like if my patient said, I want this now, I'll go wherever you are, I'll go and get it. Can I get it? I doubt it.
Yeah,
right?
So that is, yeah, you know, FDA approval is really the, I guess, the
stumbling block?
The trigger point, you know, wider availability.
Okay.
Although having Medicare agree to reimburse for something certainly helps a lot more patients gain access to whatever therapy it is. So the process for us is, ultimately it depends on what kinds of results we're able to obtain from the clinical trials. The current clinical trial, which is still an early stage trial, and is primarily designed to assess the safety of the cells, although we are also looking at efficacy, this study will enroll over the course of about a year, and there's 6 months of follow-up visits in the study.
Mm-hmm.
So that study will conclude, if the timelines continue to hold, it will conclude in early 2016 sometime, and then so a few months after that, we should have all of the statistical analyses and everything else completed from the study. I think we would very much like to, of course, sit with the FDA once we have those data. We were recently granted fast track status, which means that we are entitled to a higher degree of interaction with the agency in the development of NurOwn. So I'm very
nice.
Hopeful that we would be able
yeah.
to sit down very quickly with the FDA when we had our results, and with a program designed, a clinical trial designed for the next right study.
So the next study would probably be a lot larger.
Yes, the next study would be a lot larger.
Multi-center?
It would be multi-center, and ideally multiple centers across the U.S.,
uh-huh.
Potentially outside the U.S. as well, but it would very likely be a study that's going to enroll several hundred subjects, not 4 dozen,
right?
And would involve multiple doses of the cells rather than a single dose, and this study, I think, realistically, the earliest that a study like that could start would be in about 2 years.
Okay. And so let's say the results of that are absolutely fabulous, like what we expect to have happen. Then after that, how long would it be before someone could actually have access to it?
So if the results, with strongly positive results from a large, controlled, multi-center clinical trial, and we would design that trial, as I said, we would certainly get FDA's input on the trial design, and with the goal of being able to submit that study to the FDA for approval if in fact the data support that. So if the results of that study were positive, then the approval process, you know, can take anywhere from 6 to 10 months. Again, because this is ALS and because it's a major unmet medical need, my right. anticipation would be that it would be a 6-month review process once we've submitted the application. So if we sort of work backwards a little bit,
right.
we have our current study that will end in early 2016. It's possible at some point in the late 2016 that we'd be able to enter into this study. Now, how long that study would take to run?
It sounds like it might take a couple of years.
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's probably fair to assume that would be a 2-year process.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it depends a lot on how many centers we involve, how many subjects needed to be enrolled in the study, and, of course, how long the FDA would like us to follow those subjects after they've been treated. So all of those elements will go into determining how quickly that study can be run. Of course, we will apply all of our resources to making that study happen in as efficient a way as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, as I said, you know, with positive results, we would look to submit the results of that study as part of a new drug application or a biologics application.
So it sounds like possibly in 2020. This might be available for clinical applications.
In 2020, with positive data,
six years earlier. Oh, good. Oh, earlier would be better. I mean, of course, anyone who's suffering with any of these neurologic degenerative diseases, sooner would be better. Tomorrow would be just great. You know, they don't care about the safety. They know they are looking at death and loss of quality of life. They don't care. You know, just give it to me now.
Yes.
So would you tell us about what happened with this rabbi, and maybe if you know what's happened since, how it's gone?
So I joined Brainstorm in June of this past year, so I'm a relative newcomer, and I will sort of preface my comments by I've not met him, as I mentioned, he was one of the early subjects who received a compassionate treatment early on in the development of the cells, possibly prior to the first clinical trial that was run in Israel. So, what was very remarkable about his response was, and very noticeable, he, as happens to many ALS patients, they lose the ability to articulate as motor neurons are dying and they're not able to speak. They become dysarthric, and this is actually a major quality of life issue for many, many patients suffering from ALS. And he had a very remarkable response, in particular, in this area. And
so his speech came back.
Teacher and gave public lectures, and was able to resume doing that for a period of time.
And so has he gone down again?
So he actually had a subsequent decline after several months of improvement, and then actually received a second compassionate use treatment about 5 months after the first. He had another response after that, so it has had some, again, a transient improvement. In various measures of ALS, which, you know, again, was followed by a subsequent decline. So as an aside, it is for reasons like that that we believe, again, that a single dose of neurone won't be sufficient. Unlikely to, you know, sort of stop this horribly progressive disease in its track.
So do you know what his status is now? Is he, like, waiting for a third dose?
We're not cleared for giving further compassionate use doses in Israel, so I do not know his status at the moment.
But he had about 5 months of pretty remarkable remission, right, before the second dose. Correct?
He went six months between the doses. So we had several months of improvement, and then, you know, began to decline again.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Well, I bet he would take those few months of improvement over not having them.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been awesome. If people want to find out more, what's the best way for them to get that information?
So the best way is at our website, which one can easily find by Googling Brainstorm Cell Therapeutics, and there's a lot of information on the website, both about Neurone and the company and the work that we've accomplished.
It's great. It's very hopeful. I think it's a great application. I'm so confident that it's going to be a fix or a big part of the fix for these problems. It just makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, for me, you know, the idea that we have cells that have been, in a sense, engineered or at least grown to deliver these growth factors that can help neurons survive longer, and we're able to deliver them back into patients suffering from these diseases, ALS in particular right now, to me it makes a tremendous amount of sense. I'm so encouraged by, first of all, the safety that we've seen thus far in our clinical trials, and by the patients who have had responses and disease stabilization. I'm very, very hopeful that as we continue to develop this drug, we're going to continue to see these kinds of results, and that we'll really be able to have something to offer to ALS patients, that's better than their current set of options, which are so limited.
So limited. Okay, so a sort of a workaround, my mind is thinking. So if a patient went to Israel, is there any chance they could have this treatment?
So at the moment...
does Israel allow people to actually have it?
I'm sorry?
In Israel, are people actually allowed to have this as a treatment or only in a... You said compassionate...
So in Israel, it is not an approved therapy.
Oh, it isn't. Okay, so that's not a good workaround.
the Israeli Ministry of Health allows a limited number of compassionate use treatments for drugs that are in development, or in this case, cells that are in development. So right now there is not an active clinical trial in Israel, but we are in the planning stages of starting another study.
Oh, great. Okay. So I won't recommend that people go to Israel to get this. I was thinking if there was a way to... I mean, I think that people with the means would go anywhere to deal with these problems.
Yes. It's really a heartbreaking situation that... ALS patients find themselves in, and they really will do anything they can to try to gain access to therapy, even an experimental therapeutic that might help. And I can say it's a great frustration to be that we're not yet at a point where we can provide more widespread access. I really look forward to the days in the future when we'll be in a position to run a very large study and be able to provide hundreds of patients the opportunity to participate in those studies and hopefully gain a benefit from the drug, and eventually leading to FDA approval if the data, of course,
supports it.
Continue to be supportive of that.
Absolutely. Well, it's very exciting. I'm really glad to finally get to talk to you and find out about this. Thank you very much for taking time out of your busy day. I hope to stay.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I hope to stay up with everything that's going on there. And my guest has been Dr. Tony Fiorino. He is the CEO of Brainstorm Cell Therapeutics, doing stem cell clinical trials with ALS patients. Thanks a lot, Tony.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.